glory, his divine story. Every Thursday on Morning Glory. Catch the vibe with me, Karuna Munshi, on Radio Sai's Thursday Live on Asia Stream at 9:40 a.m.
Tune into Sai.
Spend the day with Sai.
From 6 a.m. to 9:30 p.m. on Radio Sai Thursday Live.
Radio Sai Thursday Live.
Om Shri Sai Ram. The Central Board of Education, or the CBSE results, grade 12, 2016, are out. And the Sri Satya Sai Higher Secondary School, Prashanti Nilayam, has done it again. Every single one of Bhagwan Baba's precious students, his sons and his daughters, have come through with flying colors. In fact, as always, the daughters are leading the success trail, as has been the trend over the decades. Girls have outperformed the boys yet again, but all the students, girls and boys, have done splendidly well. Now, I'm very happy to share with you the outcome, the official outcome of the results. The total number of Sai students who appeared for this exam was 136. And guess the number of students who passed? No marks for guessing, 136. The total number of students who secured a first class was 135 out of 136. And the number of students with distinction, that is grade O or outstanding, 133 out of 136. Now, I'm very, very delighted to share with you the names of the first rankers, the list of rankers. First rank has been secured by Swami's darling daughter, Miss Sai Shruti Dubey, whose overall aggregate percentage is a whopping 96%. Congratulations go out from Team Radio Sai to Miss Sai Shruti Dubey of the Sri Satya Sai Higher Secondary School. Second rank, a very close second, Swami's precious angel, Miss R. Sai Leela, who secured 95.8% marks. Fantastic work, Sai Leela. Your parents and Swami must be so proud of you. A close third, Bhagwan's very dear child, Miss R. Karishma, who scored 95.6. Amazing marks, 96%, 95.8, 95.6. Congratulations, Karishma, Sai Leela, and Sai Shruti. Now, I'm very delighted to share with you some amazing subject-wise results. The toppers for computer science are Mr. Desetti Sai Nandan, and guess what his marks are? 100%. He scored a perfect 100%. Sai Nandan, well done. And also, Mr. Bura Sai Sandeep, another person with a perfect 100% score in computer science. In informatics, Srijan Sai scored 100%. Perfect percentage. And there are two other students who also scored 100 upon 100 in informatics. They are R. Vijay Balaji and Ramavarapu Satya Sai Aditya, 100%. Just a random observation of all the winners whose names I have read out so far, I think 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 of them have Sai or Satya Sai in their name. I think the name lends a lot of power to score those 100% marks also, apart from, of course, the hard work. Now, in business studies, Khanjanakshi has scored 99%. In biology, Sai Shruti Dubey, our topper, has 99% marks. In economics, Khanjanakshi has 99% once again. In Sanskrit, Vishwamohan Kumar scored 98%. In Hindi, Swami's son Debashish Parida, 98%. In Telugu, Swami's son P.V. Sai Anugya. I'm not sure if Sai Anugya is a daughter or a son. Swami's child, I should say, 98%. In accountancy, A. Parishti Rao 97%. Incidentally, I must mention Parishti Rao's mother is an active Radio Sai volunteer, Anamika Arvind, and congratulations go out from the entire Radio Sai team to all these amazing students. In English, Dasyati Sai Nandan scored 97%. Sai Shruti Dubey also scored 97%. How do you get that kind of marks in a language which is so hard to mark? In chemistry, Aduti Thakuri scored 97%. Congratulations. In physics, G. Sai Swarna Valika scored a 97%. Now let's talk about mathematics. The following students all scored 95% marks. R. Sai Leela, R. Karishma, Debashish Parida, A. Parishti Rao, and Khanjanakshi. Congratulations to all these toppers and congratulations to the all 136 students who made us all so very proud and happy with their results. Dear listeners, I am now very eager to take this moment, and on behalf of the entire Sai family around the globe, we want to thank Swami for his continued grace upon his students, and congratulations go out to these wonderful students, their extremely dedicated and hardworking teachers, and the delighted parents. On that celebratory note, I offer myself at Bhagwan's lotus feet as I sign in life from Prashanti Nilayam, India, the spiritual capital of the universe. By the way, I am Karuna and today is the 26th of May 2016 and the time in the ashram right now is 48 minutes past 9 a.m. That is Indian Standard Time. Welcome to Morning Glory on Thursday Live. The current temperature in our ashram right now is 33 degrees Celsius. We are expecting daytime highs of 39 and overnight lows of 25 Celsius. As a matter of fact, our temperatures are not entirely unreasonable, but when you factor in the humidex, well, then it definitely feels somewhat balmy and hot in the afternoons. But the good news is that we only have a week and a half more to go before the summer cools off, because we are expecting the monsoon sometime around 6th of June. All things considered, life truly is a cakewalk in the abode of supreme peace, where our hearts are at home, mind at ease, and the state and the soul in its natural state of bliss. Here's what else is making news in Prashanti Nilayam. Yet another grand Buddha Purnima celebration has just concluded in Prashanti, and we urge you to watch the video recording of the same on our homepage, radiosai.org. As always, every religious tradition is celebrated and respected in this spiritual paradise. So today, in honor of the recently celebrated Buddha Purnima, I have a question for our listeners. While you answer it, please be sure to state your full name and your place of residence. By that, I mean, please write me your name, the city and the country from which you are at the end when you sign off. And you're welcome to write me your favorite bhajan, which I will try to play either today or in coming episodes of Morning Glory. But I will for sure announce the names of everyone with the correct answer later on the show today. So don't go anywhere. Here comes my question. Where, that is, in which place was Lord Buddha born? I repeat, where was Lord Buddha born? I want the name of the place that was the place of his birth. With that question for you, may I remind you that recently we observed the 4th anniversary of Thursday Live. With your company and your participation in this initiative, time has flown so fast. Also, it was on the 22nd of May in 2007, that Bhagwan's pet elephant, Sai Geeta, left the body. And the Lord of the Universe personally gave her an emotional send-off. And very importantly, 2 days ago, that is, on May the 24th, 2016, a great devotee of the Lord, Dr. Mrs. Jayalakshmi Gopinath of the Satya Sai University's Anantapur campus, attained Bhagwan's lotus feet. at Team Radio Sai, we bow to Jayma Madam, who for us is an epitome of devotion to God. Let's now shift our attention to the lineup of programs on Morning Glory. Today, I'm pleased to play for you an episode of Tryst with Divinity with Mr. Mueller George. He is in conversation with my colleague, Brother Bishop Rushti. After this episode, I will come back to you with the names of those who got the right answer to my question about the birthplace of Lord Buddha. And I will be playing for you some bhajans, which are either your favorite or mine. So please continue to stay with us on Morning Glory and enjoy the first part of Tryst with Divinity with Mr. Mueller George. Have a listen, please.
Saram, dear listeners, and welcome to Tryst with Divinity, our series of conversations with people who have been touched by the love of Bhagwan. And today, in the studios of Radio Sai, I have two special guests. A couple of days ago, on August 7th, we had a lovely music program, an offering of love and gratitude by devotees from several North European countries. It was a pilgrimage to Prashanthi Nilayam from Zone 7, and you had devotees who had come from countries like Austria, Belgium, Czech Republic, Denmark, Estonia, Germany, Finland, Greenland, Hungary, Latvia, Lithuania, Luxembourg, Netherlands, Slovakia, Poland, Sweden. And one of the leaders of this group is Mr. Manfred Muller Gramsci. He is the central coordinator of Region 71 of Zone 7. Region 71 consists of Germany, Austria, Czech Republic, Hungary and Slovakia. Mr. Muller from Germany has been a devotee of Bhagwan for the last 25 years, so very happily he says that it is his silver anniversary of being in Prashanthi Nilayam this year. And when I asked him if being in Prashanthi Nilayam was difficult for him in terms of food, in terms of stay, in terms of the climate here, he said that he's more comfortable eating in South Indian canteen than the Western canteen. It is like being at home. I was scheduled to interview him, but Bhagwan has arranged that even as he was there and even as I was talking to him, there's one more person who dropped in, and he is Mr. Jörg Schüppler, who was one of the key persons in organizing the music program, which was a bouquet of many songs, most of them in English. Mr. Schüppler too has had a long association with Bhagwan. It is his sixth time in Prashanthi Nilayam. He came to Swami first in the year 2000, and he was the one who was playing the piano and also conducted two of the songs. He's the one who is going around the North European countries sharing Sai music, sharing Bhagwan's love in the form of beautiful music. They have composed many songs, and professionally too, he is a music teacher who teaches music theory and practice in Austria. He was born in Germany, but now he lives in Austria. So I'm really grateful to Bhagwan that he has arranged for these two beautiful instruments of his message and his music to be with us in the studios of Radio Sai on this lovely Saturday, the 9th of this month, August 9th. So thank you so much, Mr. Muller and Mr. Schüppler, for being with us in the studios.
Sairam.
Where do we begin? So, Mr. Manfred Muller, please tell us, how was it for you trying to get so many people from so many different countries, bringing them together for this Parthi Prashanthi pilgrimage? You have people who have come from so many countries, and there are nearly 120 people who have come?
Yeah, we have been 119 who joined this pilgrimage.
Okay.
And actually we followed a long tradition. We have had several pilgrimages to Prashanthi Nilayam with our zone. Mm-hmm. And it was part of these pilgrimages for the last year. So I myself have been here with two pilgrimages I organized as well. Mm-hmm. One was about service. We did our service in the Chaitanya Jyoti Museum for 2 weeks.
Okay.
And the last one was in the year 2010.
Okay.
And we had the chance to perform in front of Swami. And actually, this was the last time that we have seen him in his physical body, because then in 2011 he passed away.
Yeah.
And when we were told by Dr. Reddy that all the zones are invited to come to Prashanti Nilayam to have a pilgrimage, we introduced this thought to our zone, and there was an immediate response, and the people said, oh yeah, let's do that together.
Okay.
And as we have many meetings where we come together in our region or in our zone, this was something again to unite us and to feel one.
Okay.
And so it was, the inspiration came from Swami himself, and it was not difficult to arrange. It was just someone has to be in the lead position and to organize the things, but on the other hand, there are so many helping hands and so many devotees who are eager to do their best and come here, that it was a pleasure for us to have this opportunity again.
Wonderful. And how was it with you, Mr. Yogesh Shukla, organizing this choir and performing in the Divine Presence on August 7th, 2014?
It was just amazing how Swami's presence was all the time with me and with us. Actually, the process of the choir forming started already 1.5 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
When I was in Europe, and somewhere I felt I have to connect the countries. Mm-hmm. Of Zone 7 by music.
Okay.
And I went to the countries like Hungary and Czech Republic, and more and more there was the vision manifesting that, yeah, we have to sing together as one. So actually I didn't know about the pilgrimage before. I just did it, and then it came out.
So you
it
just
will be,
you
it will be
people through music.
It will be merging in the pilgrimage. It was a very interesting way of Swami.
Wow.
And yeah, and then it was just time to also to go to Germany and to have more focus on the program. And we took songs from different countries, from the devotees there. Mm-hmm. That was also a beautiful story about this.
Okay.
So it was not my idea. It was Swami's way of acting through many people, through many instruments. And now I'm just feeling grateful for all what happened.
Amazing. See, it was... We saw the symphony of different musical instruments, but it was a symphony of many hearts.
Yes, exactly.
So many hearts from so many countries coming together.
Yes.
To offer.
One heart loving another. Two hands reaching out.
Wow. What is the best moment for you in the preparation as well as in the performance of this entire offering of musical love to Bhagwan?
Yeah, the moment is very long because the whole process has been like one moment in maybe Swami's thinking. And yeah, it was just wonderful to watch how all the instruments, all the people joined together, and everybody did its best. Like Mr. Müller-Granzi had said already. So everybody was giving its or her or his best from the heart, and I just felt happy to bring them all together and to give space to their being and to their sharing. So I cannot say there is one moment because for me it has been a very long
moment. The entire process and everything was beautiful.
Yes.
And Mr. Müller, how did this idea come of having the theme as gratitude for this Prashanti pilgrimage?
Well, as I already mentioned, we have experienced so much love over the past years. Each of us has his own story with Swami, with Bhagavan, and we have the feeling that we are given and given and given, and so it's natural that there always comes this wish, but I want to give something back. And one thing is, well, to serve in our countries and to spread the message and to spread the love. This is a kind of giving, of course.
Yes.
But there is also this deep wish to thank Swami and to give something back to him, which is quite difficult, in fact, to give something to him. But out of this idea, oh, yes, please, what can we do for Swami? At least we want to express our gratitude. We want to express how grateful we are. And we found the way to say, well, probably we can do it through music, because music touches the hearts of other people.
Yes.
And when Sai Kulwant Hall is filled up with love, then this is probably the best way to express gratitude.
Amazing. And you did it so splendidly. Everyone was so happy that day. It was such a heartwarming and soul-filling experience being in the Sai Kulwant Hall and watching and experiencing that love oozing from so many hearts. It was really wonderful. So let me now take a cue from what you said of how we have received so much from Bhagwan. So if you can tell us the story of where and when did you start feeling his love in your life?
Well, I think each of us has his unique story of how Bhagwan entered his life.
Yes.
And this is pretty much the same with me. And it is not only with me, but I have to say with me and my wife.
Okay.
We were married already for 15 years.
Mm-hmm.
This was in the year 1989.
Okay.
And up to that moment, the word spirituality didn't exist in our vocabulary.
Mm-hmm.
So there was not much of a religious education.
Mm-hmm.
We were not attached to any church or anything.
So you're not brought up in a religious way?
No, not really. We live in a Christian country, yes, that is true.
Mm-hmm.
But on the other hand, you see, in Europe, religion has diminished more.
Yes.
And more. People are focused more on, well, the economy, on wealth, on the worldly living, everything.
Yes.
Which is around these
aspiring higher and higher standards of life.
Yeah, that is true. So it was pretty much the same with me. And after 15 years of marriage, the first difficulties arose.
Mm-hmm.
Because when there is no spiritual background, so what is the reason to stay together as a couple with one and the same person at your side?
Mm-hmm.
There are so many interesting other, in my case I would have to say, women.
Mm-hmm.
So we felt there are some difficulties, and on the other hand, we had the deep feeling in our hearts that somehow we belong together for this lifetime.
Mm.
And that if there is something to achieve, we can only do it together.
Mm.
So we didn't want to just give up, as many couples do in the Western world.
Yes.
There are more than 30% split up.
Yeah.
Of the married couples. And so we were looking, well, what can we do for us? And we actually, there was offered a seminar by a lady, and it was called a men and women seminar. And we said, well, we are a man and a woman, so probably there is something in it, so let's go there. So we went there and found out that the leader of the seminar was a woman. She was in her 30s. Quite young.
Mm-hmm.
And she was one of these Kontergan childs. I don't know whether you remember the Contagan scandal we had in Europe. Mm-hmm. There was a certain medication given to people, and the women who were pregnant and took this medication, the children that were born afterwards, they were crippled.
Okay.
And this lady who conducted this seminar, she had no arms.
Oh my God.
She was sitting in front of us, and she was full of power and full of energy, and she was smiling, and she was leading us through this seminar. And of course, we said, well, how does it come? You yourself have such a difficult life, but you smile from one ear to the other. So where do you get your power from? And she said, well, actually, I have found my guru in this life. Mm-hmm. And just by fortune, I have a videotape with me. And if you are interested, I'm going to show you this video.
Okay.
And as it was a seminar going from Saturday to Sunday, in the evening, there was nothing else to do. So we gathered in the living room, and she went to the video player, put the cassette in, and the moment she pressed the start button, it was just like, and my wife and me fell asleep, and we woke up and the video was over.
Okay.
And we hadn't seen one single picture, so we had no idea what it was all about.
Mm-hmm.
And this was in spring, but we found out, oh, there were some pretty good ideas in this seminar. So we decided to go a second time, and this was in autumn 89.
Okay.
And there were different people this time, and they asked this lady, why are you so happy? Where do you get your power from? And she said, oh, I found my guru, and just by fortune, I have a videotape with me, and if you are interested, I can show it in the evening. My wife and me looked at me and said, oh, this is a second chance for us.
Okay.
So we went to the living room. She put the video into the video recorder, pressed the start button, and my wife and me fell asleep on the second.
Again.
And we woke up without having seen one picture.
Oh my God.
And at the end of the seminar on Sunday afternoon, this lady said, oh, by the way, for Christmas, I will go to India in order to visit my guru. And usually I take some people with me. Is anybody interested? And my wife and me, sitting on opposite sides of the room, were raising our hands and said, I will join you. And then we were looking at each other and said, did you just say you go with her? And we didn't know what was happening there. But actually, we joined her.
It was just happening spontaneously.
And we had no idea where we would go. We just had the feeling, oh yes, we haven't been to Asia too much and we haven't been to India. Probably this is a good start to be there in a group for the first 3 or 4 days. And then we can leave the group and travel around a bit in order to see something of India. And this lady took us right away to Prashanti Nilayam. And I remember, I was sitting in front of the accommodation office, mm-hmm. and suddenly my wife stood up and followed all the other people who obviously were going to whatever. And I had no idea what was going on. And my wife went to the darshan. And at that time, you might know there was the sand.
Yes.
And there was no Sai Kuivant Hall.
Yes.
And I was sitting in front of accommodation office, and 1.5 hour later or something like that, my wife came back with tears in her eyes,
mm-hmm.
crying. And I said, what happened to you? And I thought she got lost or something like that. And she said, I have the feeling I arrived home. And on the very first sight of Swami, she started to cry. This is what she told me. And I said, oh, this is strange. Where are we here? What happens here? And I was still busy, you see, with getting a room and feeling comfortable in this new country. And then 5 days later, on the 5th day of our arrival here in Prashanti, Swami called us for an interview.
Okay.
And I was sitting in front of the interview room, and we had to wait till darshan was over. And the same thing happened to me. The tears were running out of my eyes and I had no idea what was going on. And I was crying and crying and crying. And then finally Swami came and invited us to the interview room. And we were sitting there. And he directed his very first question to my wife and said, "Who is God?" Mm-hmm. And my wife, as if she was in a dream, answered, "Oh, you and me and all the others." Imagine, we had no idea. We had nothing heard of Swami's teachings and things like that. And my wife was answering, "Oh, you and me and all the others."
And we had no spiritual background.
Nothing. Zero. And Swami said, "Yes, and the chair, and the handkerchief, and the table." And my wife was looking at him, and actually, this took the next 10 years to get along with this answer. But after this interview, I met my wife outside, and I said, "Well, I think it's not going to be a trip around India. I think we have to stay here." And this is how it started from that moment on. We are staying here and this is our home.
Oh my God, amazing. She felt the very first day that she has arrived home.
Yes, yes. The very first sight of Swami just was a second.
Yes, and that feeling continues.
That is still there.
Amazing. So it's a beautiful homecoming. I think for every Sai devotee, coming to Prashanti is some sort of a homecoming.
Yeah, this is one of the sides of it. Yeah, that is true. Coming home each time that we are here.
Amazing. So what is your homecoming story, Mr. York?
My homecoming story starts with Swami visiting me at my home in Europe.
Oh.
I don't want to tell fancy stories about Swami's appearances, but just to point out that about Swami's
go and share whatever you have experienced.
Gentle way of approaching us, and that was even before I came to India.
Mm-hmm.
Swami was brought in my family by my mother,
mm-hmm.
by a book, and I felt I was reading. Listening, and I felt it's a truth. I felt a strong truth in it, and I felt this belongs to me. It's a part of me. I have to go deeper in this. And then I started studying in Germany, in the music high school, and I felt something is missing in my life. There was a good education and. But somehow I lost my motivation because I felt something is missing there. And Swami, he was just approaching me in my dreams, and he was giving me so much feeling of homecoming. Like my brother said already, I felt Swami is nothing different from me. I am Swami, Swami is me. I had this strong feeling there is no difference, there's just unity, and he's approaching me to bring me to me, to myself, and to show me that the divinity is inside of me. I don't have to go somewhere, or I don't have to do with this or that. But you know how it is. I just then had a fixed vision of myself to study tabla in India.
Oh, so you want to study tabla in India?
Yeah, because I heard of a music high school just under construction. You know, this music high school here in Puttaparthi.
Yeah, music school here.
Yeah, it's a music school. And I just felt, I want to study tabla at this music school. And it was in 2000 when I went to India with this fixed idea.
Mm-hmm.
But then I realized I was coming there and the music school has not been open yet.
Yes, I think the foundation stone was done in 2000.
Yes,
but only the stone. Puri College of Music.
So the idea became yeah, it became soon silly. And but yeah, the idea brought me there also, and it was the first day when I came to put a party with my backpack, rucksack. Mm-hmm.
So you came alone?
I came alone.
You didn't come with
no
any group?
No group.
So you came to Prashanti to learn tabla. It's music which drew you.
Yes.
Someone told you that there's a music college coming
up. Yes.
Oh my God, it's so mysterious. The music college was not yet up.
Yes.
But how did you hear about the music college?
I heard by some devotee in Germany.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
But maybe they would have heard the discourse where Swami mentioned that he's going to start a music college.
Yeah, maybe also. I just said as a sure idea that it will be open when I'm coming.
It was Bhagwan's bait to call you here.
Yes, yes. And then I came with my backpack and I was not with a group, and I was, there's the Sevadas, they sorted out like who you are. Yeah. If you're not coming with a group, you should have somebody like and you are under, I think, under 30 or 25. Yeah. I was under 25 and there was no one who could say, yeah, this is a good guy. So I came in the pot with a more adventured devotees. So they did not let me live in the ashram.
In the ashram, okay. Since we're alone.
Yes,
yeah,
because
okay.
I've been alone. Yeah. And the first moment I thought, how can that be? I'm here for Swami. Yes.
Yes.
And then very next day, Swami left Puttaparthi.
Okay.
He went to Whitefield.
Okay.
And it turned out it did not even make sense to live there because Swami left the next day.
Nice.
So I just followed him to Whitefield.
Mm-hmm.
And I lived there with a rural family.
Yeah, okay.
And
you lived with the family in
outside, yes. Mm. And when Swami at that time was still walking.
Yes.
I was just sitting and very happy to see him in his physical form. And also he was very close. I did not want to touch his feet because I felt I don't have to do it. He's just, I'm so happy I'm beside him. And this was one of my very beautiful moments with Swami, sitting and see him walking by. And after this, I returned to Europe. And in Europe, I felt so much pain about separation from Swami. I felt like crying out all the pain of the last years or even lives that I'm separated from Swami. And I cannot describe these moments because it feels like homecoming in your own home. It feels like real homecoming when you shed those tears of pain, of separation. And it was also, I shed tears and was very happy. I was very happy because I could release all those things that are not required in my life. That was one of the moments in the beginning where Swami came into my life and touched my soul.
Amazing. I think the more the tears came out, it is because how many years you've been searching for someone like that, and he's finally come, and you know, so all that pain of how much you have missed.
Yes, exactly.
The pain of how much, why you were deprived of this for so long, and now you feel complete. And now you were complete, and again you have to go back. Mm. So you feel again that separation. Amazing. And it was when Bhagwan used to talk about the devotion of Radha. He used to talk about it in this manner. You know, where there is union in separation and separation in union.
Mm-hmm.
Swami used to say that Radha was so much in love with Krishna that even in separation, there was union. In her mind, there was union. She was always one with Krishna.
Mm-hmm.
Even when Krishna physically left Vrindavan.
Mm-hmm.
And later, when Krishna comes back to see Radha at the end of the war, at that time, even when Krishna comes, for Radha, it has to be again separation for this union. She has to separate the Krishna which is there in her mind to unite with the Krishna who has come in front of her. So I think when you are in all these far away places, when you come to Bhagwan, it is that play of separation and union and union and separation that goes on.
Yes.
In our own divine love stories.
Yes.
That he has scripted for all of us.
That's true.
So it just happened for you. I mean, you were just so happy to be in his presence.
Yes.
You just knew it.
I knew it, yes. But before even coming to India, I knew Swami is not only my guru, he's my whole being, his whole life, whole everything.
But was there any particular experience that really convinced you of this? Since when?
It was a dream, mm-hmm. Swami. I was waking up Swami in my dream with some water. Mm-hmm. He was lying on, I don't know the word, on a wooden
plank
on the lake. Mm-hmm. He was golden shining, and I was the one who was waking up. Mm-hmm. So it was like waking him up myself, and yeah, it's for that reason I feel so at home also here, because yeah, Swami came to me and I visit this place, and it's just like home. I feel like home here. And also there's very structured way you're all doing this. And I feel it, it's all a part of the game. It's all a, also a way of hospitality, of Swami. And all you do is so lovely. And I feel grateful of all that is happening in this ashram. My first thought was, I cannot be here, I cannot even stay here, because they did not recognize me as some devotee or good guy. But now I know you were just doing your best to keep the environment good and yes. Healthy.
Yes.
So it transformed me. All these visits to Buddha Party and the work with Swami, it transformed my concepts. Mm-hmm. I'm very happy for this.
Okay. So, what is the new understanding of life that you've got? You said it has transformed your concepts in your mind.
Yeah, it's more about accepting. Mm-hmm. Accepting what is coming and not quarrel and not fight against it in your mind. Mm. To see behind the scene, to look behind the...
Be a witness,
yes.
And accept everything.
Yes.
Wow. So life definitely has become much easier, right?
Yes, much easier.
So Mr. Muller, tell us, how has life been after knowing Bhagwan and coming to his lotus feet?
Well, this was not so easy at the beginning. Because according to my background, I was someone who had the feeling, oh, well, you just have to think sharply and then you will understand everything. And there was not so much about heart. And there were many things missing in my life. Mm-hmm. And there was one theme I was having with me for many, many years, and this was to keep control. I had to be the one to control everything. Mm-hmm. So this was very much part of my personality.
So you felt that you are the one in charge of everything, of your life, and you can create anything that you want.
I am the doer.
Yes.
I have to keep control. I am the one. I...
Yes.
And this was pretty much at the beginning that there was something like a fight. So there was Swami now.
Hmm.
And now should I just give up and say, oh, it's not me, it is Swami who is the doer? And I couldn't do that at the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
So it took me several years. And it ended up in a very intensive moment because I came back to Puttaparthi actually. I only came to Puttaparthi when I had the feeling that Swami called me.
Mm-hmm.
So I was not the type of devotee at that time who was coming here every year to recharge the batteries or something like that. Just when there was something like an inner voice that said, come. And each time that I came, something extraordinary happened for me.
Mm-hmm.
And this was the time where I came with the group. And actually it turned out that I came here with 11 women. I was the only man.
Okay.
And in this group, I was the only one who was speaking English.
Mm.
So, as it was my nature, I took over to take care of everything. So we arrived here in Puttaparthi and I said, well, don't worry, I will take care that we get proper rooms and to have everything under control. In fact, we ended up in a shed.
Okay.
We didn't get any rooms.
Okay.
And these women, they were all quite new, and it was the first time that they were coming to India and that they were coming to Puttaparthi, and they said, well, you spoke about rooms and things like that. Oh, don't worry, I will arrange that. I will take care.
Mm-hmm.
So I was lining up in front of accommodation office every day to ask whether it is possible to get a room.
You were not an office bearer at that time.
I was no office bearer at that time. No, I was just the guy who wanted to keep control over everything.
Okay.
So I was in front of accommodation office, and sometimes there was a queue, and right at that moment when it was my turn, the window was closed because darshan was beginning.
Oh,
and sometimes I missed the darshans, and when I was in darshan, Swami did not look at me. He was just ignoring me. He was coming towards me, and the moment that he should look at me, he turned around. And so I had the feeling, what is going on here? And I was fighting, you see, this was an inner fight for me, and I didn't recognize that it was a fight. So, this whole time in Prashanti, it was for 2 weeks, I had the feeling there was not one single look that I got from Swami. Of course, we didn't get a room, nothing like that happened. And I was very angry when I left Puttaparthi.
Mm-hmm.
And already in the plane, already in the airport, I recognized, oh, something is wrong with me because I got a very strong fever.
Mm-hmm.
And this fever went higher and higher in the airplane. And when we arrived at home, I was almost losing my consciousness.
Oh my God.
And I lay in, we arrived there pretty late in the evening, and we went to bed, and my wife told me later on the whole night she was watering towels and put them around my legs and around my head because I was so hot. And the next day they brought me to hospital and they didn't find out the reason. And my fever was rising and rising, and on the third or fourth day they called my wife and they said, you should come here because we don't know whether he will survive the next night.
Oh.
And we have no idea what the reason is, but this fever is getting so strong it simply burns him, and there is nothing left of him. There is no power, no energy, there is nothing, and we don't know what to do. And actually one of the nurses said on that very day, you should take him to Hamburg to the Tropical Institute there, because you told me he has been to India. Probably he has got some infection which they know and we don't know here. But the doctors said, no, it's not possible to transport him any longer. He won't survive the transport. So they took me to the ICU. And in that night at 2 o'clock, I woke up in the ICU. And I was lying in this bed, and I was sitting up in my bed, and I said, Swami, I surrender. Swami, I can't do any longer. It is not me who is the doer any longer. Swami, please take over. I surrender completely to you. and then I lay down again. And the next thing I remember is that I woke up in the morning and that the professor was sitting on my bedside and that he said, "Well, I have two news for you, one good and one bad. Which one do you want to hear first?" And I said, "I would like to hear the good one first." And he said, "Oh, you survived the last night." And at 2 o'clock at night, we found out what it is. You have a malaria tropica, and we were not finding out beforehand. So we started medication on that very moment, and you will definitely survive. And the bad news is you have a malaria tropica, and we don't know whether there will be any difficulties with your organs or something like that, so we still have to find out. But you have made it. And is there anything we can do for you right now? And I said, "Yes, I don't want to stay on the intensive care unit because beforehand," and that actually it was a Christian hospital where I was. Mm-hmm. And you see, there were rooms. I had a single room for myself before they took me to the ICU. Mm-hmm. And they were completely white, and they were 3 meters high. Mm-hmm. And I had my bed there, and I said, "I would like to be brought back to my room." And they brought me there, and at that moment I recognized that there was a small wooden frame on the opposite wall. It was not bigger than this.
Okay.
And there was
just two, 3 inches.
Yeah, 2, 3 inches. And there was a psalm out of the Bible written on it. Mm-hmm. And it said, "This is my joy, that I turn to you, Lord, and that you are the one I follow." Imagine. And the moment I read this psalm out of the Bible, my tears started to run down, and I knew this is the surrender that was necessary. And for the next 2 weeks, I did nothing else but pray this prayer. "Oh Lord, this is my joy, that I surrender to you." And, this is the moment he took over. And this is the moment he changed my complete life. And this is, from that moment on, I'm not the doer any longer. I just try to be an instrument, and I try to be a good instrument.
Amazing. You always thought that you are the one in charge, and came to know that there is someone else who is in charge.
And this is a pretty tough lecture when you have to learn that.
Yes.
Yeah.
But I think once that happens and once that conviction comes, then life definitely becomes not as hard as it used to be.
No, that is true, and it is not possible to lock this door again. Once you have opened this door and you went through, it's not possible to go back.
Go back.
So, you have to proceed, and actually, of course, it turns out that it is, that from that moment on, your life changes, and in a way it's easier, of course.
Yes.
Because now you have someone to, now there is something to believe in.
Yes.
Now there is someone you can, well, you rely on.
Yes.
And this is what happened.
And in some ways, that is what Mr. York also experienced, when you come to know that everything that you experience, you begin to accept easier. In a more easier manner, because you know that you are not the one. As he said, in some ways it is a similar experience. Every devotee has to go through that process of diminishing their ego. You know, you only become a witness. You only accept things, whatever happens, as he's doing. And then I think slowly life begins to get glorified in some way in our lives, right? Life becomes in some ways more a celebration. Wonderful. Yeah,
but sometimes it needs a pretty hard fight before.
Yes. it's not so easy to get that joy. I think you have to do some hard work to get that experience of, in some ways it's an experience of oneness, so that only when the small self goes, well, can you experience that capital S. Yeah. So, it's as Bhagwan says, you know, we are golden, no? You know that Bhagwan used to call all the devotees, you know, as Bangaru, which means you are golden, but he used to say that to shine as gold, you have to go through that process that the goldsmith puts you through. Yeah. And that is what every devotee experiences.
Sai Ram, dear listeners, and welcome back to Morning Glory on Thursday Live. Thank you for your company. On this beautiful, balmy, warm morning in Prashanthi Nilayam on the 26th of May 2016. Our time in the ashram right now is precisely 36 minutes past 10 a.m. Indian Standard Time, and you just heard this interview conducted by my colleague Mr. Bishop Rushdie with devotees from Europe, including Mr. Mueller York. I hope you enjoyed it as much as I did. Very intense, so candid, and so much learning. My God, everybody's experience is so unique, and so was theirs. I welcome your thoughts, suggestions, and comments to this interview, as well as to any other Radio Sai interview. You can always reach us at listener@radiosai.org. Now, part two of this interview is even more interesting, and I urge you to stay with us next week on Morning Glory to catch it right here, same place, same time. And in case you wish to enjoy an impressive lineup of a few hundred such Tris with Divinity interviews with devotees of Baba from around the world, please visit us at radiosai.org/Trist, T-R-Y-S-T, radiosai.org/TRYST, Trist. Now, it is time for me to announce the names of listeners who got the right answer to my question, namely, where was Lord Buddha born? Practically everybody got it right, I think, except for one listener. And I've also noted down your bhajans, and I'm going to play a set of bhajans today so that I can keep time. I have to conclude at 11. And a few remaining bhajans next Monday. Next Thursday on Morning Glory. So here are the first few who responded, their bhajans will be played today and the remaining next Thursday. Those who got the answer right, quite a number of listeners participated, and I'm very grateful to each one of you. The correct answer, of course, I must tell you first, the answer is Lord Buddha was born in 623 BC in the sacred area of Lumbini, located in the Tarai Plains of southern Nepal. And of course, I must say he's born ever fresh every moment in our hearts when we practice kindness and compassion. The cosmic Buddha smiles inside. Now here's the list of names. Sai University alumna, the very efficient Sai Krishna from Hyderabad. Congratulations, your answer was right, Sai Krishna. It's nice to have you on the show regularly. Other regulars who got the answer right include Mr. Tarun Kanti Ghosh from Kolkata, West Bengal. Thank you, sir, for your participation. Mr. Ajay Rajan from Chennai, Tamil Nadu. Well done, Ajay. Your answer was right. Suhana Patel from Johannesburg, South Africa. Thanks, Suhana. Lata Ramachandran from Jamnagar, Gujarat. Absolutely right answer. Mr. Mirakor got confused with the answer. The correct answer is not Bodhigaya. That's where he got enlightenment, but Lumbini. Meenakshi Vel Murugan, New Delhi. Right answer. Well, I must say all the same. Thank you, Mr. Mirakor, for participating. Mridula Murthy from Bangalore, Karnataka. Rajiv Venkat from Mumbai. And I must mention, last week Raji got the answer about the Samadhi date of Mother Ishwaramba also right, but she sent in her email a bit, or it reached me a bit too late after the show was over. So double congratulations to you, Sister Raji. Rekha Loknath from Mysore, Karnataka. Veda Patel from Johannesburg, South Africa. And she also mentions that her brother is a namesake of Buddha. Buddha's name at birth was Rahul, and Veda has a brother named Rahul. So, way to go, Veda. Very nice to know that. Jayashree Rangarajan from Madurai, Tamil Nadu. Thank you, Jayashree, for participating. Your answer is right. Bala from Bahrain. Thanks, Brother Bala. Geeta Sundar, again from Madurai, Tamil Nadu. It's nice to know that people listen to Radio Sai in Madurai. Thank you, Geeta. Padma Vulli, I do not know from where because Padma did not mention her place. Correct answer. Thanks, Padma. And finally, Sarthak Devan from New Delhi, India. Thank you, Sarthak. All these participants, all these listeners had their answers right. I'm now pleased to play for you the favorite bhajans of the first few listeners who got their emails to me with the right answer. And stay tuned to enjoy your favorite bhajan either right now or on Morning Glory next week. Please enjoy and don't forget to send us your feedback to this morning's show and any other Radio Sai programs by email at listener@radiosai.org. Till we meet next Thursday, please be well and have a great day ahead. Jai Sai Ram.
sharanam ganesha.
Jay Kailashpate Shiva Shankara. Sada Shiva Shambho. Sambha Sada Shiva Shambho. Ishvara Sai Shiva Shambho. Ishvar Sai Shiva Shambho. Shaileshwar Karunamay Shankara.
Shaileshwar Karunamay Shankara.
Shaileshwar Karunamay Shankara. Shiva Shambho. Lingodbhava Kara Shiva Shambho. Trishula Jatadhara Gangadhari. Gangadhari Hala Hala Dhara Shambho. Hala Hala Dhara Shambho. Sada Shiva Shambho. Sambha Sada Shiva Shambho. Murtishwar Sai Shiva Shambho. Ishvar Sai Shiva Shambho. Jaya Kailashpate Shiva Shankara. Sambha Sada Shiva Shambho. Ishvar Sai Shiva Shambho. Shaileshwar Karunamay Shankara. Lingodbhava Kara Shiva Shambho. Jatadhara Gangadhari. Hala Hala Dhara Shambho. Sambha Sada Shiva Shambho. Ishvar Sai Shiva Shambho. Ishvar
ईश्वर साये शिव शंभो जय कैलाशपते शिव शंकर
सर्वधर्म प्रिय देवा
मेरे प्राण नाथ राम साई मेरे बाबा मेरे प्राणनाथ राय
मेरे बाबा मेरे प्राणनाथ राय
साई राम साई साम मेरे साई राम
मुझे शांति दो भगवान
मेरे जीवन में साथ रहो